Blog Talk Radio.
Guys, up with a little Felicia Day this morning because, yeah, she's going to be on Supernatural again this week.
Yay!
And I'm very scared that this is going to be her last time being on Supernatural because, you know, people don't make it off of Supernatural alive.
No, they don't. And
so I'm not sure if Supernatural's on today or tomorrow. That's why I have a DVR so that I can record these things and watch it when I want to. But, yeah. So if you are watching our Twitch, you probably see Miss Day up. Hopefully Ginger put her up. Did you put her up, Ginger?
No, I hadn't linked it yet. There we go. Now it's up. I wasn't sure if you wanted it up yet.
Yeah, she has been doing a fantastical job, and I don't know if she's been helping write these episodes because they're pretty accurate as far as, you know, everything. Geek-alicious. I just adore her. She's one of those one of our gamer girls. I'm very
she's
very
so
proud
cute.
Of.
She's an actual geek. She's an actual gamer.
Mm-hmm.
So you know she's not faking it or making it up. And
that's right.
That is awesome. That is awesome.
So she's been on two episodes already. So if you haven't seen that particular storyline involving her, you can go and watch them. I believe somewhere online. I'll tell you the title of them, so you don't have to search through all the Supernaturals if you don't watch the show. The first one is The Girl with the Dungeons and Dragons Tattoo, which I do keep on my DVR because I love to watch it. Then you have the one she was in a couple of weeks ago, LARP and the Real Girl. And I don't have the title of the newest one because it's not out yet. But wait a minute. No, it's Pac-Man Fever. I'm sorry. That's the name of it that's coming up if you want to watch the trailer for that one. I have no idea what it's about. Wait a minute. Maybe I can find out. Okay. Let me see if they gave it to me. I don't think this one, it may not be coming out until the 24th of April, so we may have to wait a couple weeks, but you got time to watch the other two. This is supposed to introduce her character to cheap pantsuits, and she's concerned about the physical toll that the trials took on Sam. If you watch the show, you know what that means. Cheap pantsuits, yeah. And Dean is supposed to avenge his brother from hurting until he heals up. So, of course, Charlie is her character's name, a.k.a. Felicia Day, stumbles upon a case and she finds them. And Dean wants to teach Charlie how to be a hunter in training. So she, oh man. I'm not going to
keep her, not kill her off.
No.
Another character.
No, she's out of there. I'm sorry, I'm going to ruin it for some of you. She's out of there. And it was, she didn't write the episode. That hurts me. Don't kill her off. Don't kill her off. She's so awesome on the show. Just hilarious, just geeky. I imagine her character on the show is like she is for real. I mean,
yeah. Sorry about that. I had a slight interruption there for a second.
What happened? We didn't know we were going to chat. Was there a crackle? Was there a boom?
Somebody moving in the house.
Don't cut him. Yeah, I don't want them to kill her off. Don't kill her off.
Don't kill her off. She's too cute to kill off.
She's just adorable. I like if you haven't seen the episodes, watch for this line in The LARP and The Real Girl. because her character is a lesbian. Yay, Felicia, thank you. For our lesbian girl gamers out there. We're not lesbians here. We got a half a lesbian here. Snow's a half. We call her a half lesbian. But yay for making her character not conventional. But I like when
exactly
she's
yeah.
walking next to Dean, and all the girls in the LARP camp are checking her out. And he's looking at her. He's like, really? She's like, dude, you can't lock this down. I love it. I love her character on the show. Absolutely awesome.
Can't lock this down.
Yeah, she says, dude, you can't lock this down.
That's hot right there.
Yeah, so I absolutely adore her character on the show. You have to watch it. Support our girl. Felicia, we do love you to death. Hopefully we manage to drag you over here. Whatever happened to Morgan Webb? Where the hell are you, Morgan? Did you just drop off the face of the earth since X-Play's gone? Where's our other girl? She's another one I was just crazy over. Love her, but she's
we may have to Google. Oh, good Lord, I can't talk. We may have to Google that in a little bit, yes.
We may have to find Miss Morgan. Okay, so there's the beginning of your news.
Yay! And then I almost don't want to skip off that page. She's so pretty!
She's so pretty.
She is. All right, so, you know what? I'm just going to leave her up there for right now.
Y'all can stare at the Felicia work.
Uh-huh, yes, you can. All right, yay! Cox Communications says, screw you, copyright alert system makes its own 10-plus strikes. Uh-huh. While Cox Communications may have declined the offer to join the Six Strikes Copyright Enforcement and Educational Program, which is now called the Copyright Alert System, it doesn't mean that it's not enforcing its own rules. Cox has now a 10-plus strikes program to deal with those who download and share copyrighted material illegally. Cox has an estimated 3.5 million subscribers here in the U.S., Cox Communications has a long-standing notice program that we enacted more than 10 years ago. The process we have in place works to address this important issue and provide a balanced approach for our customers and the copyright holders, which I've actually run into. Cox Systems, which it calls Cox Graduated Response, first warns customers about their illicit online activity, later escalating into internet restrictions until they call customer service to discuss them. And after a second DMC notice is sent to an account, the subscriber gets a warning via email or a browser notification. These emails detail what the customer allegedly infringed on and directs them to call Cox to discuss the issue. If more DMCA notices are sent to the same account, customers are placed in a walled garden and again encouraged to talk to customer service. While Cox emphasizes that it usually works out these situations, one of the tools it has in its toolbox is it'll shut down an account for repeated DMCA violations. This usually occurs after 12 or more DMCA notices being sent to an account. Cox insists that it rarely ever has to disconnect a customer. Y'all done it to me. And I only had one! Anyways, if we receive 10 to 12 complaints, our customer safety department will evaluate the situation and work with the customer to find a solution to the complaints. It's very rare that we need to reach the level where we actually disconnect a customer. But anyways, I kind of like this. You know, I complain, yeah. I got my internet turned off for like a day until I called their little DMCA line. And then it was just like a slap on the hand. Hey, don't do this again. And it was nothing. It was back on in like 5 minutes after that.
Were you doing midget porn? Now, wait, okay, so is this for... Okay. This is area specific, or they're all planning on trying to do this?
I'm going to say this is just Cox, so all their Cox systems, yeah.
We got to stop saying that.
Cox.
Ginger. Bad Ginger.
I like Cox.
No, you don't. You would rather have a different internet provider. Wouldn't you, Ginger?
I would. Really, when I had Cox, it wasn't that bad. They were good. Much better than this Time Warner crap.
Girl, don't do it. Don't get me started.
Suck, Time Warner. Are you listening, Time Warner?
By the way, good morning to you, Amy BB from Second Life. Love the new picture you put up today. Girl, you are awesome. That girl got smash skill. Amy BB, I'm not sure if she's a photographer or a designer, but her pictures are gorgeous, and the clothes that she has in them are gorgeous. And I don't even like these pants, but I want them because of the way she took the picture. That's good advertisement there. You can find her at pixelvanity.blogspot.ca. Thought I'd throw her a little love this morning because she sends me a picture every morning. Hello, Amy. Okay. So,
oh my God. Internet meme. Why did the chicken cross the road? To escape North Korea's long-range missiles.
You know what's funny? I was going to make a joke like that yesterday, and there was an actual chicken crossing the road where I was.
Oh, my God, that's hilarious.
And I was going to take a picture of him, but he when he saw me pull out my camera, he started running. He was like, oh, my God, she's got something in her hand. So he took off running. I had no idea where he went. But there was a rooster. He was walking across the street. I know you guys are like, where the hell does she live? This is Texas. That's all I can tell you. And it was near downtown where there was traffic. I don't know where he was going.
That's hilarious.
I don't know where he came from. It's not the first time I've seen him either. He wanders around, if you want to see the chicken, he wanders around like the 59 something. There's a park there that's a historical landmark. I can't remember. So if you can get into that general area, if you're in Houston and it's not far from the main part of downtown, that's where he crosses the road back and forth, I guess. I don't know what he's doing, but it was hilarious.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. That's one of those weird things. Yeah, free range chicken. Do not kill him. Okay, apparently I hear somebody's texting me. He belongs to somebody. He belongs to a church or something. So please don't kill him. He's a holy chicken. All right. This is bad. All right, so apparently...
holy chicken when I'm dead with him?
No, you cannot eat him. Cannot eat him, Ginger. He wasn't even crowing. He's just crossing the street on his way to work, whatever chickens do for work these days. Okay, so... poor thing. All right, so apparently there's some studies being done. First-person shooters are apparently not bad for you, as we were told over and over and over. Games Industry International, and I believe I got a message like this from the ESA yesterday. I didn't get to quite read all of it because I was driving. They're saying they're doing a study trying to determine why are violent video games so much more popular than other games, and they said it, of course, is a very tricky question to answer without falling down the why hole. You know, why? Of course, some of you are saying shooting stuff is fun, but the psychologist wanted to know, why is it fun? Why do players like feeling ridiculously powerful and enormous and have big fun?
In a world where we're tiny, tiny people, it's fun to feel like we have all the power.
Exactly. Now, some psychologists are trying to, as they say in the article, tease apart the reasons why violence sells without throwing their hands up and shouting, just because, and I'm not even your real dad. Okay.
God.
Credit for that is one Miss Jamie Madigan, or it might be a Mr., but I'm going to call you a Miss, Jamie. Researchers Scott Rigsby and Richard Ryan describe how they think the design of violent video games, especially shooters, naturally does a pretty good job of satisfying some of our very basic psychological needs, but not the ones that you are thinking of. In their book that they've – I don't know if the book is out yet. I'll get to it here in a second – called Glued to Games, How Video Games Draw Us In and Hold Us Spellbound, Rigsby and Ryan describe self-determination, their self-determination theory. And it's a fairly well-established framework that aims to describe why people pursue certain voluntary activities. In part, self-determination theory says that people are motivated to engage in activities to the extent that they satisfy three basic psychological needs. One, competence. Progressing in skill and power, 2, autonomy, being able to choose from multiple meaningful options, and 3, relatedness, feeling important to others. So what does that have to do with your violent shooters? Rigsby, Ryan, and their colleagues argue that many of the design principles of a good shooter also happen to follow well-worn paths of satisfying these psychological needs. Interesting, right? Go pick up their book. I think it's I love it. I like there's a quote in there that says it's not fetishizing guns and explosions as much as it is the ability to use tactics and choose among meaningful options on the road to victory. So next time somebody tells you that gamers are bloodthirsty crazies, you can pull out your book and say,
I'm totally crazy, people. I'm
Rigsby
totally
and Ryan. I said Rigsby, but his name is Rigsby. Rigsby and Ryan says that this is satisfying my basic psychological needs, competence, autonomy, and relatedness.
And unless you'd like to volunteer to satisfy my basic
other
animalistic needs of killing people.
No, you don't have
to. You.
And I like this question. And we'll probably talk about this Thursday night, too. This will be interesting to discuss. Is it how fun would a Half-Life 2 deathmatch be if you gently tagged other players out by flinging toilets at them instead of shooting them? Well, apparently that's still pretty fun to some of you because there is a mod that does that. You shoot toilets. So it has.
Really?
God. So what that proves, it has nothing to do with the gun per se, as they keep making it out to be. You could be.
Well, if there's a way to kill you, that's fine.
It's not the violence, it's that we just like to play. So anyway,
check out
Jamie Madigan's website, psychologyofgames.com, and follow him. It's him. Gosh, Jamie, why couldn't you be a girl? At Jamie Madigan.
You're this Jamie. Why can't you be a girl?
Wait, let's
Jamie, I'm sure you heard that enough growing up with that name.
Yes. I have a cousin named Jamie, and his name is not Jamie, but I call him Jamie, which he hates. So anyway, go and check that out. You can also check out the book. I think it's going to be an interesting read, and it's going to put to rest a whole lot of arguments about gamers liking the actual violence. It's just you have basic needs. We all do.
Have basic needs.
Not just the physical, but you do have psychological needs, which I would like to see them go deeper into other games because I am not so much attracted to the first-person shooters, but as simulators. You'll know I'm a simulator freak. So what basic need am I satisfying? Because I will play a simulator like nobody's business. Do you know I was dreaming I was playing Prison Architect last night?
Really?
Yes, but I was actually in the game, and I was rallying the prisoners into the lunchroom to eat, and I had my billy club, and I was like, you all better get in there. Boy, don't make me hurt you, boy. Bam. You, I ain't afraid to use it. Yeah, so I love a simulator. Like, yeah, love it.
Or you may be a little bit crazier than I am. Hey, look at that.
I'm not loading people into the prison for real. I wouldn't want to work in prison. You see my butt? I would disappear in the prison for a couple of days.
Come out with a smile. Anyways.
Anissa last night, you know that that's true. Oh, my God.
Yeah. One of them messaged me. You can't hide. I put you on my friends list.
Ooh, they got to fix that. This is not cute.
I was like, wait a minute. I didn't get a message about that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, so leading scientists to share vision of humanity's future among the stars at Eve Fan Fest. Yeah, that's right, folks. More cool goodness going to be happening at the Eve Fan Fest. At the CCP Games, the world's leading independent, massively multiplayer game developer, they today announced the full slate of speakers for the Eve Real track at its sold-out annual celebration, Eve Fan Fest, which is happening April 25th through the 27th. Wish I could be there.
Mm-hmm.
Hint, hint, somebody buy me tickets. Dr. Richard Obusi, president and co-founder of the Icarus Interstellar, and Chris Lewetsky, president of Planetary Resources. They're going to be joining Michael Lane, president of Liftport Group, and they're sharing a distinct visions of how current science fiction may soon become reality. The new Make Eve Real speaker track is comprised of three luminary speakers and scientific pioneers who will share bold initiatives for humanity at its place among and its place among the stars, exploring areas where the tech and science behind Eve's future universe could become a modern reality. This is so hot. The sessions take place at this year's Fan Fest. We're going to have one called Space Elevators, Past, Present, and Future.
Hmm.
That's going to be hot. Bringing FTL to IRL, the quest for warp speed. Hot. Asteroid mining, our search for riches enters the final frontier. Those unable to attend CCP will be able to live stream Eve Fan Fest and all of the Make Eve Real sessions in standard definition for free on their Twitch.tv channel, which I'm going to be doing. You can also get HD for a one-time fee of $19.95 USD or one plex, which can be attained on the Eve online in-game market. Viewers, look at the latest announcements from CCP panels, presentations, PvP tournament coverage from both Eve and Dust, and the famous party at the top of the world, amongst other unannounced events. All programming is highly produced and includes commentary and interviews from developers and players in true Eve community spirit. Seriously, I think I'm going to watch the free one.
Really?
Because I wouldn't mind seeing these panels, especially the space elevator, past, present, and future. That's what a lot of people say is going to be what finally gets us into space.
I'm scared. I told you, I'm staying on this planet. I was born an Earthling. I'm going to die an Earthling.
No way. I'm sad. I want to travel to other worlds. That's never going to happen in my lifetime.
Yeah, when that green stuff eats you, you're going to say, I should have stayed with Corey.
When it eats, like, yay, I'm being ate by an alien.
You know what? I'm going to walk away. I'm going to walk away from that. Because it's just too easy. All right. Apparently, there's going to be a quake in Dallas on the 15th of April. That's right. QuakeCon, we mean. QuakeCon 2013 online free registration is going to open on April 15th. General admission to QuakeCon is free to all attendees. With free registration opens, they'll be offering some premium packages. They are limited and will be available on a first-come, first-served basis. First package is going to be about $30. They only have 1,250 available. This will guarantee you a seat of your choice in the BYOC area. I didn't say BYOB. I said BYOC. Bring your own computer, not bottle. Don't go to the QuakeCon drunk. You'll also get an official QuakeCon BYOC t-shirt with that package. They also have the next one up, which is BYOC Select a Seat and Swag Pack, full of limited edition items, guaranteed reserve seating. This one's $90. They only got 500 of those available. You can select and reserve a seat of your choice. You get the t-shirt, official QuakeCon t-shirt, a BYOC t-shirt, a Logitech mouse, and a $5 voucher for their on-site Bethesda retail store. And you can check out what they have at that store at store.bestsoft.com so you can know what you're going to buy, as well as a number of show exclusives. Your seating will only be reserved with this one until Friday at 7 p.m. You also have Select a Seat in QuakeCon Done Quick. Gets you some passes for the duration of the event. This one's $50. They only have 250 available. Get a reserve guaranteed seat. Express Lane Fast Pass registration for BYOC. So you go to the front of the line, you get a fast pass to every speaker panel, go up to the front of the line and public event at QuakeCon, limited reserve access seating for all panels, presentations, and events, and official QuakeCon BYOC t-shirt. And again, your seat is only reserved until Friday. You also have the biggest, well, it's not the biggest one, but, it's a swag pack full of limited edition items. Maybe you don't really want to sit at the other things. You just want the stuff. So you get the QuakeCon t-shirt. You get an Elder Scrolls Online Aurora Boros t-shirt. You heard me right. Another special limited edition t-shirt. A QuakeCon branded Logitech G400 mouse. And a $5 voucher for on-site Bethesda retail store. And, of course, you can go check out the store, as I said. If you want to go ahead and start, get the registration link loaded up. Registration.quakecon.org is where you go. And get yourself signed up.
Yay! All right, so. I'm going to lose my voice. Go away. There we go. Fourth LOLSEC member pleads guilty to cyber attacks against Nintendo, Sony, and others. Yeah. See, hackers, not so fun when you're not pointing, you know, your attacks the right target. Anyways, a fourth member of the hacktivist group LOLSEC has pled guilty to attacking websites owned by Sony, Nintendo, and News Corp. Ryan Aykroyd entered a guilty plea at a hearing in London today. He'll be sentenced on May 14th along with three other hackers, according to presiding judge Deborah Taylor. Aykroyd had previously denied any involvement in the 2011 cyber attacks that brought down various websites, including the Arizona State Police, Sony, News Corp, 20th Century Fox, the UK's National Health Service and Technology Security Company, HB Gary Incorporated. So not clear if this was the same group from LOLSEC that also attacked EVE Online servers.
Uh-oh.
Or the gaming website The Escapist. Two other defendants in this particular case, Jake Davis and Mustafa Elbassam, have previously... Yeah, Mustafa.
Ooh, say it again.
Mustafa! Oh my God, I love that part of the movie. Had previously led to disrupting websites at the Central Intelligence Agency and the UK's Serious Organized Crime Agency. Ryan Cleary, the fourth member of the group, pled guilty to six charges in June. Cleary also admitted to installing or altering files on Pentagon computers operated by the U.S. Air Force and constructing a botnet to perform distributed denial of service attacks, DOS attacks, and directed to target websites operated by UK web hosting sites. Guys, seriously. You can do so much good. You have done good. And then you'll go and do just stupid crap. Stop it. You want to break up child porn rings? Great. You want to take over North Korea via the internet? Even better. Just delete their launch codes while you're at it, okay?
Yes, please.
You want to do stuff like that? That's wonderful. You want to hack in and find where, you know, people have gone missing in countries with terrorist organizations? Wonderful. Taking down Sony and the Arizona State Police and crap like this, what's that do? Annoy them for, what, 2-3 hours tops? Come on. Get it together, guys. Get it together. all have so much power, and you just waste it.
This is the one with the Nintendo attacks? Is this the one?
Yeah. What was the point of taking down Nintendo? So, do you have something against Mario? Do you not like Luigi? What's your issue?
You know,
I think they don't like Link.
What? What?
That's what I heard through the grapevine. I heard they don't like Link.
Why are you trying to get me all up in arms? I have to go and learn. I have to up my hacking skills just to find out who does not like my Link.
I heard they don't like Link. I heard they want to take down Link.
Oh, God. Why do you? Oh, Ginger. Yesterday you gave me a heart attack. Today you're getting me riled up.
You know you love it.
You know how I love my Link. You know how I love my Link. Okay. EA, you got to stop it. EA!
What did EA do?
Named worst company in America again.
I was talking about that the other day. Oh, my God.
As expected, EA has won the Consumerist Online poll for the worst company in America, making it the second year in a row the publisher has been granted that dubious distinction. In a rematch of last year's finals, EA trounced Bank of America with more than 77% of voters in the poll, determining the game publisher as a worse operation than the financial institution. Among the reasons cited for EA's win were flaws in its products, the SimCity always-on launch problems specifically, its exclusive NFL license preventing competition in the marketplace, which I've been mad at for years, a focus on free-to-play nickel and diming, in-game ads, and poor customer support. I can't get them for that one too much. Sometimes they are. For The Sims, their customer support is on point. I will give them that. They need to look at their Sims division and find out what they're doing right. EA COO Peter Moore failed to jinx his company last week when he wrote a blog post on the poll saying he fully expected EA to be named the worst company once again. This is the same poll that last year judged us as worse than companies responsible for the biggest oil spill in history, the mortgage crisis, the bank bailout that cost millions of taxpayer dollars, he noted in his post. In announcing the results of this year's poll, Consumerist writer Chris Moran acknowledged Moore's post and responded with a question for the executive at GI.biz. He is quoted as saying, "We live in an era marked by massive oil spills, faulty foreclosures by bad banks, and rampant consolidation in the airline and telecom industry. What does it say about EA's business practices that so many people have for the second year in a row come out to hand it the worst company in America? What does that say about you?"
That is horrible.
You're worse than oil spill. I understand both sides of those comments. I understand what Peter Moore is saying, that people are they're a little bit misfocused. However, we come to you to escape from the oil spills and the faulty foreclosures, because what else can you do but play a game when faced with horrible things? And you're not providing a good escape. You're keeping us from escaping. You're making it difficult. You're adding yet another problem on top of what we already have going on in our lives. So that's why I'm guessing people are angry with you. I want to be able to play any NFL game. I still say ESPN football, 2005, is still a way better sports game than Madden will ever be. And some of you can be mad at me if you want to. It was a fantastic game. It has something for all types of players. And you all say women don't play sports games. I don't play because it gets boring to me, the actual game part. But for me, liking simulators, it had everything in it. I got to manage the team, who was hurt, who was going to be sitting on the bench because they got in trouble for doing something out of the game. Another one that was good, Blitz the League, and had a storyline. So you took all the ability to do that stuff away for people to get creative because it's a game. And all you do is you rehash, you go and you get the bunch of players, whoever got drafted this year, you stick them in the game with their stats. And that is boring after a while to me. Some of you are fine with it, but I thought that's why you watch football. My point in playing the game is I want to do something I can't do watching TV. I want to control the player. Maybe I want to put a hit out on him, so that his leg is broken for the next game if he tries to quit the team. These are things that...
Oh, my God.
Yeah, but this is where I say it gets fun. Somebody can come along and do something completely off the wall, and now they can't, not with real players anyway. Blitz the League had to create, fictitious players and things, but... Wouldn't it be fun, some of you who didn't like Michael Vick, wouldn't it be fun if you could just break his leg in the game? I'm just saying. Maybe. in the game, not
Skolnick. You know, I feel bad for him, but I don't.
I don't think his crime fit it. I don't think his crime, his punishment didn't fit his crime. I think they went overboard because, like, that same week that whatever happened with the dog, a girl was raped and murdered, and the guy got 2 years, whereas Michael, yeah. They were trying to convict like he had, you know, killed, you know, he'd done a mass murdering. So
I'm all for him treating them both the same.
So. No, I don't think the same.
He didn't
kill the dogs. It was dog fighting. That's the difference. This is a child that suffered some torment. I can't say she was murdered, but either way, it was torment if she lived or she didn't live, whereas opposed to the dog was fighting. So I think, yes, he should have been forced to, you know, be a permanent volunteer at the SPCA and take care of dogs, but not both of them have the same punishment. It's not equal, not in any stretch of the imagination. Murdering a child and dog fighting should not be on par with each other.
Okay.
Yeah. All right, we got to move along.
Moving right along. Do, do, do. All right, here we go. Spunland Cottage lets you call a little slice of Spunland home. Picture plants and interactive toilets with all the appropriate noises. Mad Monkey has released its third set of Spun Home commerce items, in addition to the first update to Spunland itself. Yay! Wait, I do have the shared, right? Yes, I do. Okay,
yeah, I'm trying to... Okay, that is too purple.
All right. Pictures, plants, and... Headlining.
Cute!
The new release is the Spunland Cottage, a little slice of Spunland you can call home. In this PlayStation Home apartment, you can trigger the Spunland clock to begin a set of collecting and chasing games, control all of the elements of the background music by switching the sonic spunners on and off, or sit out in the garden and watch your very own Flesho Spunner Happy Gray under purple and orange skies.
I remember those things in real life. Remember that? The thing she's bouncing on? Oh, Ginger's too young. Some of you out there remember that. You used to buy them at Toys R Us.
Oh, yes. Yes. Okay. Yeah. The bouncy ball.
Yes.
Yeah. That's so awesome. When it gets cold, why not head inside and brave the twists and turns of the ever-changing maze in the depths of the cottage? Please note, it opens only at fruit o'clock and egg o'clock. All right, anyways, want to furnish your cottage with some trendy spun furniture? Mad Monkey has you covered. Spun furniture for sale includes 3 Spunland pictures, an interactive sliding picture puzzle, and 2 dynamic images. The Spunland fruit tree, as seen in Spunland, it blooms and produces fruit when you dance in front of it. And the Spunland plant and the Spunland flower, active items which dance and change behavior in response to your actions. And the essential centerpiece of any self-respecting virtual homeowner, the Spunland toilet, of course. Yes, you too can now own your very own Flesho throne to park your little virtual behind on. Humorous noises included.
No.
Simply required.
No.
Oh, my God.
No. No.
Yeah.
No.
Okay, so this is the first update, bringing with it its much-requested save game, which is via the Bank of Spun. I'm so sorry. All I hear is bank. Anyways, experiment. What fun can you make? It's €3.99 for the Spunland Cottage. €1.49 for flower. Whole list of things, which I think I have them all up on GameNatrix.com this morning. Head over, check it out. Your own little Spunland Cottage.
I think that's cute. That's very cute. Because I did say PlayStation Home was nice. I just never knew what to do with it. It was very nice. Have you been in your PlayStation Home?
No.
You should go and check it out. Of course, it'll make you angry because it looks like Second Life, but like Second Life amped up like 15 times, and you can't do any of the stuff in there. You'll be like, where is the build button?
Where is my build button, man? I'm bitching about that in APB last night. Well, so much more about not being able to sit. I wanted to be able to sit.
Yes, you were. It was the last thing we heard you say. I need a sit animation.
Well, yeah, we were all standing there, and I was all like, I need a sit. I don't have a sit. I need a sit. All right, so I've got your link up for you, woman.
Mystic Chronicles. Natsumi. today revealed some additional information for its upcoming PlayStation Portable title, Mystic Chronicles. This was developed by Kemco. The game became an immediate cult classic in Japan. It will be coming to the U.S. this summer. It has a retro-style graphics, story-driven quest, and turn-based battle system, which neither Ginger nor I like, but some of you may. Natsumi is ready to reveal the background story of several playable characters, as well as a small glimpse of their guardian beast. Guardian beast. Mystic Chronicles boasts a colorful cast of characters, each not only with their own abilities and motivations, but also their own personal guardian beast. Why do we need a guardian beast?
It's a guardian beast.
What is with the Japanese and the guardian beast thing? That's like in every game. You have a guardian beast or something, or a guardian. What was the one we were playing a couple years ago? It was a little girl. That one just really creeped me out because she would stand and tell you things to do, but she wouldn't help you. I was like, why are you here? You're not guarding me.
Yeah, oh, I remember about the little girl that followed you around, and she's constantly making noises and talking, and
yeah,
ended up wanting to slap the bejeebus out of her and be like, "Shut!"
Yes, and I thought the game was good, but I could not stomach her. And then you had to dress her and all this stuff. She had to have special dress because if you didn't have, she didn't have on certain dresses because it was her armor. She would get killed.
Yeah, yeah, and you had like feed her and talk to her and interact with her because if you didn't, then she got upset and then she wouldn't buff you and. Somebody slap that stupid little kid for me.
All right, so you got some guardian beasts, both male and female. One is what is her name? Baron. Anyway, you could go play this one. I just don't even want to talk about this guardian beast. Natsumi.com is where you can go. And, of course, Mystic Chronicles follows the story of a mysterious youth, Lux, adopted by a small village. He's just begun his training to join the Hollows Guild. With the names, a society charged with ridding the world of troublemakers. However, a chance meeting with a young girl sets in motion a series of events. It's always the meeting the young girls. It sets him on a far more serious quest than just defeating ornery forest creatures. Could Lux end up being the savior of the entire world?
Really? Savior of the entire world!
Anyway, it looks cute. Some of you who like the anime will enjoy. Is that fishing?
Oh, God. We've lost her now. There's fishing.
Me? You didn't see the fishing?
I did not see the fishing. I'm not going to look.
Girl,
I'm not
gonna
look.
Fishing.
Not looking.
Ginger, that is fishing.
Not going to look.
Oh, look.
Not
Ginger.
No.
Ginger.
Y'all see this? She's trying to get me addicted.
I'm just saying, it's fishing. Ginger, it's fishing.
I don't want it.
Oh, Ginger.
Yeah.
It's fishing.
No, touchy touchies.
Yes, Ginger, touchy touchies, it's fishing.
No touchy touchies.
Ginger.
No.
It's fishing.
No.
It's fishing.
No touchy. that's a good point, Horace. In their religious culture, they have guardian beasts and spirits. So, yeah.
This is true. However, I don't want it in my game, and I don't want it in the form of a little girl that I have to dress and feed. I have a real one of those.
I have a real one of those.
Yeah.
All right, so, moving on. Stop looking at the fish. That's the next war mode, update for Arctic Combat. Modern military first-person shooter will also feature new weapons and maps. A global already read that. WebZen announces an epic new update for their free-to-play first-person shooter, Arctic Combat. Beginning Thursday, April 18th, 2013, players will be able to participate in a thrilling new four-player co-op mode. This exciting new mode marks the first major content update for Arctic Combat since its official launch in December of 2012. The four-player co-op mode will feature various levels of difficulty, all resulting in an assortment of rewards. The new feature will also allow gamers from all different backgrounds, including more casual FPS-type players, to enjoy the game. The new update for Arctic Combat will also feature new weapons and maps, plus a challenging upgraded artificial intelligence system. Yay! So now the robots are going to kill you even harder! WebZen Incorporated today also publishes a trailer, which I'm showing you, set amidst the chaos of World War III, damn it, a new North Korea would start that, Arctic Combat is a multiplayer online first-person shooter, MOSPS, featuring a realistic gameplay experience and a tactical skill development system. The game revolves around the story of an international conflict between two groups, the Allied Forces led by the United States and the Red Star Alliances led by Russia. What begins as a dispute over natural resources in the Arctic becomes a violent clash between AF and RSA. It divides the world into two opposing forces and signals the beginning of World War III. Yay!
Ooh, man.
I know, right?
Man. I got another cutesy game. I'm irritated.
Cutesy games!
Yeah. Anyway, this one, once Ginger gets it up, Angel's Wrath is what it's called. This is another one coming from across the pond and sea and halfway around the world from LaCool Games. It's a fantasy-based, a fantasy-themed browser-based MMORPG from LaCool Inc., the publisher of some of the most popular browser-based games. They're saying it's supposed to have some very colorful graphics and intriguing gameplay. The open beta world of Angel's Wrath commences on April the 11th. If you want to play, you can go over to LaCool.com/FBAngelsWrath something or other. Angels, or go to angelswrath.lacool.com. I don't like these. Okay, so it has, of course, the cute and adorable style characters.
Pony.
Yes. I never liked My Little Pony. I hated that. Beep. Okay, so it's cute and adorable style characters, simple gameplay, and they said it has a compelling storyline. Boasting awesome of its new graphics engine, many experts will believe Angel's Wrath has the best graphics in the action RPG genre. No, it does not.
No,
the game allows players
doesn't.
To choose one of four classes. Your four classes, Berserker, Archer, Dancer, Monk, which you saw there at the beginning, and you develop your characters through spirit training and quest exploring and skill learning. You can also make new friends, participate in various social events, right? And team up to fight against monsters and NPC bosses. Each class has its own unique abilities. The game features traditional MMO features, such as a dungeon system, an arena system, play PvP and PvMBC battles, equipment, and a pet. Yes, another beast, and a mount system.
Yay,
and all these are... These are supposed to keep you immersed for hours. You don't get your pet right off. You only get it at a certain level. It can be cultivated and grown into a more powerful one with a couple of attributes. I'm tired of all these flipping pets.
Doesn't look like you can actually fly the dragon. It looks like she's running around on a My Little Pony horse thingy, Mabopper.
Yeah, that's floating. You know, the only pet I actually liked was in EverQuest Classic. I don't know what he was. He looked like a little blobby thing, but that pet was hardcore. I'd tell him, root him to the ground so I could mess him up. He'd do it. And if I was getting killed, he'd run in and fight for me so I could run. You know, he'd take one for me. These other little...
He'd take one for the team.
He'd take
Yay!
One for the team. You never had one of the pets when you were playing EverQuest? You never had one?
I don't think so, no.
I played as a cleric, so
I didn't have a pet.
Oh, you were the offset to what I had, which was a wizard. The wizard always had pets. And my pet, man, I'd run for the zone, and I'd be like, pet, hold him down till I make it to the zone. And I'd run.
No, I was a chick screaming, train to the zone, train to the zone, hurry on the way, train to the zone.
My pet was awesome. He would gather stuff for me. He'd loot my stuff. You know, we were a team. It was like having somebody there that I didn't have to talk to, because, you know, I'm antisocial. That I didn't actually have to talk to that was playing with me. I'd be like, go over there. You go over there and get that stuff off of that body there, and I'm going to loot this one, you know, because I'd kill, like, a whole bunch of them with him there. That's the only pet I liked. I have not liked any pets in any games I had. Maybe my City of Heroes ones, because she would regenerate me the whole time I was fighting, but she could get killed. She's a little fairy. She's annoying. You know, she's all flitting around my head. I can't see. She's in the way. I'm trying to fight. Like, get out of the way. But none of these little pet beastie things. I need you to do what you're supposed to do. If you're a pet, you're supposed to take one for the team. You're supposed to run in, bite the leg, you know, while I kill them or something. Don't do anything. They're just for show. Seriously, somebody out there playing a game have a pet that's actually helping them like they're supposed to, like that, that's going to die for you. Point them out to me. I'll play that game.
I mean, and WoW, I often left my pet to die, but...
Yeah, but he didn't actually run in. Did he run in for you?
No, I had to tell him to go in and like, hold him, and then I'd run the other direction.
Yeah, see, I didn't have to do that. My pet was like, you remember, you could set the pet, he could be passive, aggressive, or, you know, neutral. Yeah, you don't have to, I don't see that anymore. They just kind of stand there.
Mine was always passive, and then I would manually tell him, go fight. That way he wasn't going crazy.
Mine was aggressive. I'd be like, hold him! Hold him while I punch him.
All right, so, South Korean League of Legends players, frustrated totally frustrated.
Oh, wow.
And not over North Korea this time. Anyways, over server instability and downtime. South Korean gamers are getting a little upset. The servers for Riot Games' League of Legends in the country have spent more time under maintenance or facing downtime in the last month than being operational. According to a report over at our frenemies, Kotaku, March saw LOL servers down for a good portion of the month, 12 days in total. April isn't shaping into a much better month. Servers for the game in South Korea have been down 5 out of the 10 days of April due to server downtime, maintenance, emergency maintenance, and other technical problems. Wow. All right, so what happened? 4-9, unable to log in, server unavailable, website loading slowly, unable to recharge RP. 4-7, server unstable, Riot forces changes, minimum number of players in a room from 1 to 2 temporarily. Game client download issue, unscheduled emergency maintenance for 3 hours. 4-6, unable to log in. 4-5, server unstable. 4-4, delayed login. Wow, oh my god. Fans love the game in South Korea, but they are beginning to get sick of not being able to play it. Riot Games Korea says that there was a problem with the game's database, and that some of the server's instability issues were due to large numbers of players streaming in. Riot Games Korea said that it is determined to make LOL servers stable again. Wow, I hope they do that. I hope they do. And I'm kind of concerned. Did they just not give you enough servers? Because, man, you know South Korea are some gaming fools. They are crazy, crazy fanatic about their gaming. So y'all better get that fixed.
Right? Y'all need to get that, get it right.
Get it done, folks. Get it done.
All right, somebody is handing out beta games. I'm telling you, we try to help you guys out. We show you the cheap and easy way to play. I'm trying to pay Sister Ginger, and it will not pay. Go to Ginger, go, so I can tell them about it. Go to Ginger, go.
Yay!
All right, these are from our friends in Scotland, Elgin, Scotland. This is from Hunted Cow. We really don't care what kind of game you make. Just come sit over here and talk to us. Yes. This is a closed beta. You're going to go to beta.eldvin.com if you want to play. Hunted Cow has previously invited a small number of players to beta, but as of today, the servers have been reset, and the team is looking on scaling up the number of players dramatically after an overwhelming positive response to the game. Kind of reminds me of Diablo in a weird way. John Stewart, who's the manager of Hunted Cow, said their initial closed beta test was very positive and exciting for them. Their goal with Eldvin is to create an awesome browser-based role-playing game with all the features of a AAA title. They've already rolled out a number of improvements to the game based on player feedback, and they're pleased to launch a full-screen mode to meet the player demand. The player has been working on Eldvin diligently for the past 8 years. Oof, 8 years. Wow. They said they're very proud of what they've accomplished. That's amazing. They're looking forward to your feedback. Now, again, the game runs entirely within a web browser using Java technology. This means it runs on all major web browsers. So do not come to us whining, because I do get a random message here and there. It's not working. I just got it from your podcast. No, it should run. It's not their fault. It's you. Fix it. They said you should not need any additional downloads or a lengthy installation. It does require you to have a higher-end graphics processors, and it will work on the majority of your netbooks, your laptops, and your desktops, running Windows, a Mac, or even Linux. That's right, everywhere. If you, again, wish to participate, you can go over to beta.eldvin.com and sign up.
Yay for sign up!
But it's in closed beta. It only goes to level 30. You got some different professions. You got a cool storyline. It looks interesting. It looks like it's something I could pass the time playing. It's a standard, you know, dungeon dragon type of thing.
Yeah.
But it's something I could, you know. I don't know about y'all. I have to have like 5 or 6 things to do at once. Yeah.
Bold ghost.
Yeah.
Yay!
So this is one of those I could do while I watch a show and stuff. And since it runs in any browser, you put it on a laptop. I wonder if it'll run on a phone.
Since
it runs on a tablet, I wonder if it would run on the Droid.
It might.
I don't see why it wouldn't. Who knows? All right. We still got minutes.
We do have minutes. All right, I'm trying to. There we go. Get that down. There we go. All right, so Dota 2, speaking of LOL, Dota 2 passes League of Legends as most played PC game in the West.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Valve's popular MOBA game, Dota 2, has officially surpassed Riot Games' League of Legends as the most played in the West in this first quarter of the year.
Go, go, go.
Yeah. The report from DSC Intelligence covers PC gaming in North America and Europe, and it's based on the DSC Intelligence PC Game Meter service. It combines data from multiple sources, including real-time stats from Xfire's 23 million users, which I installed, like, uninstalled, like, per se. Both Legends and Dota 2 were well above the next title in line, Blizzard Entertainment's World of Warcraft. The popularity of both titles shows the continuing strength of the free-to-play MOBA genre, including to DSC. According to DSC. Wow, I can't read, and I can't, yeah, talk today. Usage of League of Legends has been steadily in the past year. Has been steady in the past year, and surprisingly, the huge success of Dota 2 did not seem to cut into its popularity. This would be expected. The past year has seen numerous blockbuster PC games that have really helped drive usage. This includes, among others, Diablo 3, Guild Wars 2, Battlefield 3, Minecraft, World of Tanks, and Valve's Counter-Strike series. The one thing the PC Game Meter service does not measure usage is casual or browser-based titles that are being played in the West. They said if we did, we'd likely have some different names in the top three list. Yes, yes, you Farmville fanatics and Candy Crush Saga. Candy Crush Saga.
Oh, my God. I keep seeing the ad for that on TV every morning.
It's so much fun. It's so much fun. I can't help it.
I have to agree with you. I don't even look at it as fun. I just pick it up and I'm like, I can't stop playing. I don't know why. I don't know why I can't stop playing. All right, I got to get this one in before we go because this one's kind of snuck under our radar here. This is a, when Ginger puts it up, Mars Warlogs. Anybody seen this one? This is a cyberpunk role-playing game from Spider Studios. They did send us some screenshots. I have not had the chance to put them up, but it'll go up soon after we get done with this because, wow. Yes, this is the hero of the story, of course, is Roy. This is, again, a sci-fi RPG planned for PC coming May. Yes, just next month. It's going to be on the PlayStation Network, Xbox Live as well, in yet another tricky situation. I don't know how they're going to do that. On one hand, Roy is hunted by Aurora's army and their fanatic technomats. That's what they're calling technomants, who would love to make an example of him. On the other hand, the Renaissance is wary of him because of his origins. Roy finds himself in the middle of a fierce civil war in which he'll have to have sooner or later to pick a side. Mm-hmm. As to as far as who he is, he got something going on. As far as who Roy will eventually choose to side with in the civil war that will tear Aurora in two, that all comes down to who you pick. Again, this is developed by Spider Studios for Xbox Live, PlayStation Network, and for your PC. Mars Warlogs is a brand new franchise sci-fi role-playing game. It has a variety of quests, tactical dynamic combat, and extensive character specialization through skill trees, of course, and a complete crafting system. Right? It's supposed to take you to Mars, of course. It's in the title. You know you got to go to Mars, and this will be...
Oh, he's got magic.
That's right. It'll be after a catastrophe supposedly has thrown the planet and its colonists into chaos. Water has become the most precious resource. In other words, it is... what's that movie that just came out and they did a remake of? With Colin Farrell and Arnold Schwarzenegger starred in the original.
Oh God! hell! I know what you're talking about.
I just watched it the other day. I can never remember the name of it. Total Recall.
Yeah, there we go.
You think I remember the name since it's Recall? But they borrow the storyline. Looks like a little bit. It takes you to the Red Planet a century after this has happened. And of course, in the middle of the struggle, you can take on the role of Roy, who is a renegade with multiple talents, and it's cyberpunk, which Ginger is going to probably fall in love with. We will never speak to Ginger again once she gets to play. You got many skill sets, perks, and real-time combat against, so it's not turn-based, against the fearsome creatures of Mars. And the crafting system is supposed to let you create and modify equipment to maintain an edge over your enemies. There are dialogue choices, actions, and decisions that are supposed to influence the destiny and influence people that he comes across with. Blah, 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 blah. Again, it's... Yeah, there's a whole bunch of blah, blah, and it will be out in just a few short weeks. And these people are from Paris. Focus. Oh, this is Focus Home. By the way, that's making me the Remember Me game. Oh, this is going to be awesome then. Oh, my God.
It should be, yeah. And, you know, now that you mention it, it does look a lot like it, too.
Yeah. Nicely done. You guys are going to be the next big thing, I think.
Yes. Yes, you are. Precious. I'm precious. The catnip bundle gives you Scratches, a best-selling horror adventure game for PC. Yeah, I know. I totally like Scratches there. Bundle Star is today revealing classic adventure game Scratches, the director's cut, as a bonus mystery title in its latest game bundle, Catnip. Bundle Stars, which is currently offering three cut prices on its website, has kept hidden the first of its mystery titles to gamers until today. Scratches, the director's cut, a mystery and horror adventure game, was named Game of the Year by JustAdventure.com when it was released. Never heard of it. Either one of them, actually. Widely regarded as one of the best horror adventure games ever made. Again, never heard of it. Scratches became a cult hit, selling over 250,000 copies. That's not bad, actually. Bundle Stars are giving gamers the opportunity to get their hands on the adventure classic ahead of the launch of a new game from Scratch's lead developer, Augustin Cortez, later this year. Cortez raised over $119,000 in a recent... No, I don't want to change my color screen. Stop it. Now, where was I? Cortez raised over $119,000 in a Kickstarter project he created for Asylum, an upcoming psychological horror video game, demonstrating the game's loyal fan base. Gamers who haven't yet bought the bundle can still get access to Scratches the Director's Cut, along with nine other great downloadable PC games, as part of the Catnip Bundle right now. The Catnip Bundle is available for a limited time only from BundleStars.com. Supports independent game developers, raises funds for charity, and saves gamers over 90% off the combined retail price. One further mystery title will be revealed soon. They did not give me a price for it, so I don't know how much you're going to have to pay to get it. But, it looks like you need to pay more than $5.02.
$5.02
to get all the games right now.
Oh, all. I was like $5 a piece. Like, what?
No. $5 to get Pushcat, Metal Drift, Wasteland Angel, Obulus, Nicopol, Chains, Postmortem, Evencast, Scratches, and one more that's not been released.
Do we have time for this last one? I suppose I'll jump in here and share it. This is only because of our SimWatch people. I'll throw this in there before we go. All right, you Sim people, pay attention. Today, The Sims 3 Island Paradise has been released. That's right. You can sink your feet in the sand and get ready for a tropical escape to your island paradise. This is just released today, and there's a brand new trailer Ginger showing. Showcase.
Yay!
In the sun, moments waiting for your Sims in the Mecca of Isles. From owning and managing a resort to living a life on a houseboat and even diving. Yes, this island paradise is supposed to open up a world of possibilities never before seen in the Sims 3 PC franchise before. Here, Sims will find their path to happiness with all new leisure activities, outdoor escapades, and out-at-sea discoveries. They can set sail on a sunset cruise, dive deep beneath the waves to explore the ocean floor, retreat to a romantic bungalow tilted just above the water, island hop to meet new Sims and more. With new modes of transportation such as houseboats, speedboats, and jet skis, dive lots devoted to scuba and snorkeling enthusiasts and secret islands yet to be uncovered. Sims 3 Island Paradise opens up a whole new world to explore. It's it's not out today. I got some of you super excited. It's available for pre-order and drops anchor in retail store for digital download on Origin.com on June 28th. Players who pre-order will receive the limited edition version of the game that comes with the Island Survival Pack, a new set of content that equips your Sims with the necessities to scrape together an existence on a deserted island, from a makeshift home on a floating barge to a minimalist clothing option such as tattered togs. Your Sim will be ready to endure the shipwreck lifestyle with the essentials found in this particular bonus pack. I may actually want to try this one because they did this when they did The Sims 2. They basically looks like they borrowed some of the stuff from that The Sims 2 Castaway. The movie Castaway was out when they put that one out, and they had you on an island. But this one may work just a little bit better since it's kind of tied in with the main one. You can get somebody lost at sea. Just looks a little interesting. I may want this one. I didn't want the college one, not because of the nakedness, but because, you know, I just wasn't interested. The college thing was a bit too much for me. I actually send some kids off to boarding school in the game until they're teenagers, and then when they come back, then we do the whole prom thing. So, anyway, time for us to get out of here. We will see you guys tomorrow.
Yay!
Out of trouble, because we are watching, and of course, we're a little bit of everything.
Oh, what? No, not tomorrow.
Why are you
you trying to confuse me? You know I get confused easy.
I know. Not tomorrow.
Try to confuffle me.
I got a doctor's appointment, not tomorrow.
All right. Well, we won't see Ginger at some point. She got doctor's appointment. Anyway, we'll be here sometime. Tomorrow or the day after, we don't really know. But you know where to find us, at least. You may not know.
Yes, you do.
All right. You guys stay out of trouble.
Say you feel. Say you feel. Come on.